Welcome to the Valhalla Parish Sermon Podcast, coming to you from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of several First Nations where the Kootenai and Columbia Rivers meet.
Glory to God, glory to God in the highest.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night, but we have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I think that reading strikes me anew every time I hear it. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, our Mother. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All we have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And to all of us. We gather together this morning, as we do so often, to celebrate God's faithfulness, to lift our voices, to lift our hearts, to lift our entire selves to the one in whom we live, the one in whom we move, the one in whom we have our being. And some days we find ourselves singing at full voice. And there are other days where we find ourselves mumbling the words, perhaps hoping that in singing them, they will do good work in us, even when we find ourselves hanging on by a thread. We all come to this gathering with our own experiences of life, our joys and sorrows, our hopes and expectation, and it's here in the midst of whatever we are carrying that Jesus chooses to meet us. Not some other future state, but how and who we are right now. And thank God for that. In today's gospel, after Jesus preaches to the crowd on the shores, he turns to his friends and he asks them to sail out a bit further, to put out their nets a little wider. And I can almost hear the exasperation in Simon's voice. "Master, we've worked all night long, and we've caught nothing." I guess, and this is a crazy idea, but I guess if you say so, we'll let down the nets again. We've been doing this for so long and all to the same result, but okay, I guess we'll give it another shot. Simon, I can imagine, goes and does this out of duty, maybe out of friendship. He works with his friends to cast out the nets, and I imagine, though I could be wrong, that his heart isn't exactly in it. His faith that something different will happen has been tested and tried, and he's just not sure. I can imagine them sitting there in the boat, perhaps talking about Jesus' most recent teaching, or maybe they were thinking about something else, maybe wondering, like my kids, who's going to win the Olympic downhill skiing event, or whatever the first century equivalent is. The nets are let out. They're not exactly paying attention at first. They have no reason to be. When they start to note that the floats above the nets are bobbing, when they note the nets pulling and they have to move swiftly to hold on as the boats start to go under. And so they call to their friends across the way, friends they knew from high school, friends they knew from work, friends who hadn't really been brought yet into this whole Jesus thing, but who would definitely help in a pinch. And so they come together and they draw in their nets. And what do they find? To their surprise, they find that there's more than enough. More than enough for them, more than enough to share, more than enough for those who had been listening and watching from the shore. And this, my friends, was good news for these people in first century Roman Palestine, people who lived not exactly paycheck to paycheck, but catch to catch. Under the rule of an imperial government changing its economy from one of bartering and trade to one that relied on collecting money and gold, some sort of monetary wealth, of some people who were able to amass vast sums of wealth. And then there was this community of laborers, of fishers, many of whom suffered when the catch wasn't good. And so when this catch came in, it was good news indeed. Not just good news for the folks in the boat, but for the whole village. I often need to remind myself in this situation that modern individualism hadn't been invented yet. It wasn't yet about me and what I can do for myself. This was good news for the entire community who could live off of this fish for some time. And it was a gift of God. And when they pulled all of the fish in, perhaps as they were making their way to shore, seaweed and kelp in the hair, seagulls swirling on thermals above, that's when Simon breaks down in tears, ashamed at his faltering belief. And yet Jesus doesn't let him stop there, doesn't stay at a distance and let Simon wallow. Instead, he approaches Simon, wraps his sweat-soaked arms around his friend from participating in the catch himself, and he draws Simon into an embrace, loving him, reassuring him, knowing that this experience was at odds with his most recent experience, knowing that how hungry Simon was, how hungry the community was for good news, and letting Simon rest in this moment, worn out, satisfied, and unafraid. And so I wonder in this moment, what are you hungry for? I wonder in this moment, what would be good news for you? I wonder in this moment, what would be good news for our community? And we'll take a moment and pause as you consider those questions. And perhaps you have some thoughts. What are you hungry for? What would be good news for you? And what do you think might be good news for our community?
I'm hungry for people to start looking out for others and not just thinking about what they want and think about them thinking.
Thank you.
I'm hungry for our country to come together. We seem to be so divided now. It's not just the vaccine mandate. It's there's so much hate out there, and I'm hungry for some peace and understanding for all of us.
Thanks. I read these words earlier this morning, not in the service, I read them on the internet. And I just want to leave us with them in this moment. And partly it's because we are in this time of division. Partly it's because sometimes I feel anyway, and I don't know about you, I feel as though I'm not sure what to do next. I'm not sure what we can do next to find common ground with our neighbors with whom we may disagree. Especially as we seek after the common good and the flourishing of all of God's good creation. And so sometimes I catch myself in fear. Sometimes I find myself to be a lot like Simon, who's like, oh, good Lord, really? You want me to go out and put out these nets and do this thing again? I've been trying my level best for the last 2 years, if not longer. And so I read these words this morning from the minister at, or some version of these from the minister at St. Stephen in the Fields in London, England. And I found them comforting, and so I share them with you. Our fear that we aren't enough is the place into which God enters. Our failures are the location of healing and the gift of God's grace. Our emptiness is the place God longs to fill until we know that we are truly beloved and more than enough in God's eyes. May it be so, and may we come to know that deep within our hearts. Amen.